First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is out of the country on a trip. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but he will be back soon. Always a pleasure to be among the stable of guest hosts who are part of the Main Street Radio Network team, headed up, of course, by Alan Nathan. We're going to start this hour with author of An End to the Upside Down Reset, The Leftist Vision for Society Under the Great Reset, and How It Can Fool Caring People into Supporting Harmful Causes. That's the latest in his 7-book Upside Down series. He's also host of the podcast, Where Is My Mind? Additionally, he has served on the board of the Institute of Noetic Sciences since 2019. Mark Gober joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Mark. Good to have you on along.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me.
Many of us remember, it seems like ancient history now, but it wasn't, when then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton handed Vladimir Putin a plastic red button and said, "Here's our great reset." The look on his face was priceless. He thought she'd lost her mind. At least that's what I thought. Many of us watching went, What is she doing? And what is she talking about? You've written about this. Now we have a new president and an incoming new Secretary of State. What does that mean for this great reset that you've been studying and writing about for so long?
Well, a lot remains to be seen, but I want to give you and your audience the history here, because what I had heard about the Great Reset initially, I heard so many different opinions on it. Some people said, Mark, this is just a conspiracy theory. But what I'm referring to is a stated vision for society that was announced formally in June of 2020 by the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, alongside then Prince Charles. This was during the beginning of COVID, and the narrative was, society is shifting because of this emergency. It's time for a great reset. And then there was a book published the following month called COVID-19, The Great Reset, published by Klaus Schwab and one of his colleagues. So I just want to establish first that this is an explicit plan that's been laid out. It's not just an abstract concept.
Is part of the plan that you will own nothing, but you'll be happy?
Come out of World Economic Forum literature. It was not explicitly written about in the book COVID-19, The Great Reset, but it's definitely something people often tie to it. And I think it's because the vision for society is not one of freedom. It's much more about limiting human potential under the guise of trying to protect people. So the language is very much compassionate, but it's not about prosperity. And in that regard, I talk about it in my book, An End to the Upside Down Reset, as an anti-human mentality. It's almost like humans are a parasite on the planet and we need to control and limit them.
You know, without having read Klaus Schwab, which I would think would rather have root canal surgery than to do so, I think people have been living this mentality for quite a while now. I think it was COVID and the hysteria, and I've run out of adjectives a long time ago, as to what was done to the public under the guise of, we're going to protect you, and so we're going to give you remdesivir and kill you, and ad infinitum. People were horrified, rightfully so, that people in the position of power, just like the child who's abused by a parent, I used that analogy in the last hour, now hostile actors towards them. They want to harm and hurt them. If you combine the authority with the malicious intent, it's no wonder people weren't sleeping at night. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I also think people are waking up. The amount of pushback to the authoritarian ideals today versus 2020, let's say, it's a different world. So I'm optimistic in that regard that people have seen the result of just listening to the expert class, so to speak, repeatedly, rather than thinking for oneself and having basically the ability of critical reasoning. And so people are asking more and more questions these days.
Well, yes. And as I've said just a little bit ago in this program, there are always going to be, we don't know exactly how many, people who jump on bandwagons quickly. And they jump off them pretty quickly as well. But they were the victims, and it doesn't mean they're not responsible, for the social pressure that was used to bludgeon people into thinking and believing certain things. And so I expect that to happen again, and people will be on the, well, you know, Trump is not so bad bandwagon, but they don't really understand the hard-fought horrors that people lived with to stand up courageously against clear attacks on American sovereignty and American freedom. So how do you get through to those people who will jump on a bandwagon, jump off a bandwagon pretty quickly? I have some ideas. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, the best we can do is to try to share information. What I found in writing this book series of concepts that question people's paradigms is that if someone's not ready, they will rebel even more if you try to push them. So I like to share information, and if people want to absorb it, they can. And it's going to be up to the individuals on their own to really have transformations.
Right. Mark, what is one or two of the most persuasive ideas? Because, you know, I've seen that conservatives in general, sometimes it takes a long time to explain rational thinking to someone who believes that America is a racist, evil country, or that socialism is merely a different economic system, or a number of things. Oh, that open borders is compassionate. These kinds of platitudes are hard to break down with people who've already swallowed it. They may not, but what has been persuasive?
It's a really tough one, and I try to go through this in my book when I talk about the psychology of leftism, which I distinguish from liberalism. So leftism is a much more extreme version where compassion is weaponized. That's really the fundamental issue. And perhaps what the solution is for those on that side to see the results of things they used to believe, where let's say the media was pushing one narrative and now they're admitting to have been wrong, or in social media they were censoring and now Mark Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan says, well, now we were forced by the government to do that, we're not going to do it anymore. Some of these proof points might start to crack for people.
You know, Mark, it's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, I am already seeing it in people that I know who say, you know, maybe I should start to maybe hear the other side of things. And I think that is sometimes is due to some people of the idea that if Trump won in a landslide, more than 70% of people said, you know what, we have to change course, that there is a climate, talk about climate change. The climate has changed indeed. And it's a climate of saying, you know what? I've lived in a bubble and I have to hear what the other side is saying. And I'm not saying that as much for conservatives because we've had this stuff pushed down our throat for so long. It's not like we could escape it very easily. So it is not equal in that regard. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, and I do write about this in the book, that there is a left-wing bias in academia, in the media, and the tech industry. So there's certainly a narrative that is pushed more than others. And I also agree with you that there's a reason for optimism now. If we think about the beginning of the last Trump presidency versus this one, now we have people like Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk more, you know, at least being open-minded to Trump, and a hedge fund manager like Bill Ackman, who used to be much more on the left, now starting to wake up and
well, I worry about some of those quick converts. I'm not so worried about Elon Musk because he put something on the line. I am concerned. I'm not believing Zuckerberg. He's a member of the tribe like I am, but I don't buy him. I think we have to watch him very carefully. I think he's just jumping on a new bandwagon. That bothers me. Well, I don't know about you.
There are a lot of smart businessmen and women out there, and it does make sense to want to cozy up to the administration. So
I say welcome him. Trust but verify, I think is what I'm saying there. How do people get your book? And I guess it's still relevant, but how do they get your book?
It's on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and Audible format, An End to the Upside Down Reset.
Yeah, and I think it is very much relevant because it's what we've been living with and watching for such a long time. Mark Gobler, thank you so much for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate your time. Well, we are going to move on with another guest of ours. They said goodbye real quickly. I heard it, you didn't. We'll be right back after this.
If your child swallows a button battery, it's an emergency. Dr. Ian Jacobs from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has more.
Button batteries are everywhere, inside toys, remote controls, watches, lights. When swallowed, these batteries can get stuck in a toddler's throat, and once inside, a child's saliva interacts with the battery charge for a chemical reaction that burns the tissue and may damage the esophagus.
Children younger than 6 are most at risk of swallowing a button battery. If you suspect a child has swallowed a button battery, take the child to the emergency room immediately.
Children often swallow batteries without anyone noticing. The symptoms may mimic the most mild symptoms of a common cold or flu. They can include sore throat, difficulty swallowing, cough, vomiting, gagging, or even chest pain. Tightly secure battery compartments and keep spare batteries out of the reach of children. And when batteries die, safely dispose of them.
For more information on button battery safety, visit chop.edu/button battery.
IBM and the Worldwide Fund for Nature Germany, WWF, announced they will work together to explore developing a new solution to support the monitoring of keystone species, starting with the critically endangered African forest elephant. A single African forest elephant roaming freely in its natural habitat can increase the net carbon capture capacity of the forest by almost 250 acres. This is equivalent to removing from the atmosphere a year's worth of emissions from 2,047 cars. According to the International Monetary Fund, this can translate into a dollar value of up to $1.75 million per elephant. This is an exciting new use of IBM software, in combination with the Worldwide Fund for Nature's deep knowledge of the natural world, playing a crucial role in streamlining the process of identifying and accounting for the individual elephants. IBM and WWF are committed to exploring innovative products and services to help organizations harness natural capital to accelerate their sustainability progress. Sponsored by IBM.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, having a blast on this day after the inauguration. Oh my, it's a new day in America, indeed. Here to talk about the Supreme Court ruling on TikTok. And what Trump intends to do about that, very, very interesting, is Michael O'Neill, Landmark Legal Foundation's VP of Legal Affairs. Hi, Michael. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you. How are you today?
I am having a wonderful day. I don't mind telling you. I am grateful beyond words. Are you?
Certainly. Absolutely. I think I think it was a good day yesterday, and I think the better days are ahead for our country.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, I sound giddy and everything, but the fact of the matter is it's real. It's genuine. And after watching what was happening to our country, these are answers to prayers. Nobody's perfect,
Certainly. But
some people are more imperfect than others. I'll leave it at that. Let's talk about TikTok.
Sure.
There is a lot of confusion and, of course, disagreement about TikTok, the First Amendment, among conservatives. And then we got to hear that Donald Trump sees that as an opportunity. What do you think, having looked at it a lot more closely than most?
Yeah, certainly. Well, there was a law that was passed last year and that when it was poised to go into effect on January 19th, actually did go into effect on January 19th. And the law essentially ordered the divestiture of TikTok. As you know, as you probably know, TikTok, the social media application, is owned by a company called ByteDance. And ByteDance is a company that is in China that is essentially controlled in mass in toto by China. So the People's Republic of China, an identified adversary of the United States. And the concern with this law was behind the law, why Congress passed it, bipartisan, by the way, why it was passed and signed into law by former President Biden, was that TikTok have access to vast amounts of users' data, American data, and they'd be able to manipulate this data. An oral argument that was really encapsulated in a manner by Justice Kavanaugh when he said, look, imagine you're a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, and you do some stuff on TikTok that, you know, might be questionable, might be a little weird. And 10 years later, say you want to get a job in the national security apparatus somewhere. Well, what if TikTok uses that as leverage for you somewhere, some way down the line? So there was a rationale, a national security rationale behind this law. Well, of course, TikTok challenged the law, said it violated not only TikTok's First Amendment rights, but the 170 million users' First Amendment rights. And so it rapidly ascended up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments a couple weeks ago, and then last week issued an opinion, a 9-0 per curiam opinion, saying that the law did not violate the Constitution. It did not run afoul of the First Amendment. In other words, the national security interests that Congress had identified were legitimate for curbing the First Amendment rights of not only TikTok, but TikTok's users. And the court also said, look, we're not regulating content. The law simply orders the divestiture. In other words, the selling of a foreign owned corporation. So there was a way to continue to TikTok to operate if it were owned by somehow a domestic entity, Elon Musk, or some other non-adversarial entity, i.e. not China. So that law went into effect on January 19th. And then President Trump jumped in and ordered one of his first acts, issued an executive order directing his attorney general to not enforce the law until his administration has had the opportunity to determine a course forward. So essentially directed that the law not be enforced for 75 days. Now, the question here is whether an executive order can, pun intended, trump a statute passed by Congress. It remains to be seen.
It remains to be seen. So how can Donald Trump said in several of his speeches yesterday that he wanted the U.S. to have a 50% interest in TikTok. How can our government have an interest in TikTok? Are they in media business? It doesn't make sense to me.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You would not have the U.S. government purchasing TikTok. Again, it would be, I think it would be facilitating some sort of deal or purchase agreement whereby a domestic corporation, and I think what he means U.S., I mean, I think he might be talking about a U.S. domestic corporation, i.e. Facebook or X or something like that. The problem really, and the reason why the Supreme Court upheld this law is because ByteDance, an entity controlled by an adversary, the People's Republic of China, and the potential national security threats that this poses. And the court really deferred, said, look, if Congress wants to identify national security threats and pass laws accordingly to address those, then that's their purview. We're not going to wade into whether China poses a national security threat or not. That's Congress's job. Well, of course, Donald Trump understood, and interestingly enough, he'd filed an amicus brief in front of the Supreme Court and asked for the delay to happen. So I think he wants to be able to maintain the authority. First of all, he wants to maintain presidential authority, but I think he wants to be able to maintain the authority when he's negotiating with the Chinese to kind of have this card to play if necessary. And I think that's really maybe the impetus behind what he's talking about.
It sounds go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, go. No, go ahead.
It sounds brilliant. I mean, I didn't think that Trump, I mean, he could only talk in a shorthand about it. U.S. I mean, it's the same way he's saying we're going to build. Well, you know, we're going to build this or build that. That doesn't mean the government's going to do it. It means it's going to benefit the American economy and Americans are going to build cars again and those kinds of things. He's a smart man. He didn't mean that. I just didn't understand what he meant. But I thought it was typical of Donald Trump to think outside the box and to see something instead of a downside, he sees opportunity. What I wonder about too, though, is since I said in the last segment, which you didn't hear, I don't really trust people like Zuckerberg anyway, who seem to be a threat not maybe to national security, but certainly a threat to the First Amendment, because he aligned himself with the previous administration. Now he's trying to align himself with the current administration. And I use him only as an example of someone who, you know, if it's free market, yeah. If it's, you're going to save the Republic, no, we need competition. What do you think about that? You know, being Landmark Legal is a great organization, so
we're going
to save time to talk about that. But what you know, comment on that, if you would.
Sure. There's a lot of moving parts here. I mean, I think that base from a legal perspective is you have a law on the books, a valid law upheld by the United States Supreme Court as constitutional. So I don't know. I don't necessarily think that that would provide a shield. So you have a law saying that TikTok, it's illegal to operate TikTok in the United States. And now you have an executive order that appears to run contrary to that. Now, does the question, of course, is would that executive order provide a shield from prosecution? In other words, if TikTok were operating on a Google platform, on an Apple platform, and a prosecutor wanted to prosecute for violation of the law on the books, essentially it's called the Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And they wanted to prosecute, would this executive order directing your attorney general not to enforce the law in 75 days provide a shield? I don't think so from a lawyer standpoint. And again, I'm careful here. I'm a lawyer. I would advise my client, hey, comply with the law. We'll see where the CEO goes later on down the road. We'll see if a deal gets worked out and the divestiture occurs. But for right now, I think the law is on the books. I don't think, as I said, I don't see the attorney general directing any of her U.S. attorneys to prosecute it. But a lot of moving parts, and we'll see how this all shakes out.
Michael, you hear that music? I got to let you go. But I can't wait to talk to you about more legal issues in the future, in the coming months. How do people find you, follow you?
Yeah, check us out on Facebook and on X, Landmark Legal Foundation.
Landmark Legal Foundation. Michael O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll be back after a break and we'll tackle another issue. I got to look at my notes here. Don't go away. We're going to be right back on the Ellen Nathan Show.
Tis the season to shop at Ollie's, America's largest retailer of closeout merchandise and excess inventory, with brand name merchandise at up to 70% off the fancy store prices every day. Here's lifestyle expert and media host Kia Malone with more.
You got to check out Ollie's for yourself. Ornaments, holiday decorations, wrapping paper, gift bags, and so much more at up to 50% off the fancy stores. Also, brand name toys like Barbie, Nerf, Hasbro, Mattel, LOL Surprise, Hot Wheels, VTech, and more. This John Deere Kids Build-A-Buddy is $15.99. Theirs, $24.99. You'll also find action figures, kids' books, inspirational books, and gifts at the best bargain price around, like this Oster Stainless Steel Digital Toaster Oven Air Fryer, $39.99. Theirs, $129.99. And don't forget the wrapping paper, 100 square foot roll for $279. Theirs, $429.
For an Ollie's near you, go to ollies.us. If you thought video games were just for kids, think again. An estimated 190.6 million Americans ages 5 to 90 play video games, and there's one new game that's expected to be at the top of every gamer's wish list this year. Trends expert Scott Steinberg explains.
Each season, there are top trending video games that everybody is looking forward to, and this year is no different with the launch of Star Wars Outlaws. Everyone from Star Wars fans, those new to games, to lifetime gamers can all enjoy the experience in Star Wars Outlaws. It's the first ever open-world Star Wars game with an original story set between the events of Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars Return of the Jedi. In this exciting action-adventure game, players will outwit the galaxy's crime syndicates and travel across the galaxy to experience five beautiful locations, including both new and iconic settings in the popular franchise.
Star Wars Outlaws is rated T for teen and is suitable for anyone ages 13 and up. For more information about the game, you can visit StarWarsOutlaws.com.
It's a really big problem. First off, if you can make it, you can fake it. So you can have counterfeit electronics, you can have counterfeit toys, you can even have counterfeit toilet paper. And more importantly, it costs $1,500 to every American every year, and we lose 300,000 jobs. We're working together. So we work with the Customs and Border Protection, as well as with the other law enforcement agencies, where we exchange information, participate in investigations together, and really stop the goods from entering the marketplace. But what we also do is we're doing with Customs and Border Protection today, we also do these education campaigns to try and make sure that consumers are aware of the problem and how they can protect themselves as well. Please go to uschamber.com/shopsmart. And there you're going to find some tips for how you can protect yourselves and your family and your children this holiday season.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline on a historic day after the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States, Donald Trump. So we are going to talk with our next guest about the U.S. migrant crisis, which has now been deemed a national emergency. Here to talk about it, I can't wait to hear what he has to say, Middle East historian, third-generation printer and author of The DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis, Richard Lyons joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Richard. Good to have you along.
Great to be with you again, Karen.
Yes. Yes. Boy, I'd like to talk to you about the Middle East, too. But you're here to talk about the U.S. migrant crisis. And the question I have in my notes is, will Trump save us? Well, boy, those string of executive orders is sure a good beginning. What say you? How's this going to affect the situation?
I think it's a wonderful start, and I think the real trouble is that, Karen, we have this setup of sanctuary cities, which so you've had criminal gangs operating at the border and funneling people to and drugs to sanctuary cities that have been offline. In other words, people don't know who they are, where they are, and they have been given sanctuary by the Democrat Party in their illegal activities. And so these executive orders will allow Tom Holman to literally take federal authority into those cities and get those people out.
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't think that this is historic. I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, this has ever happened in America. I think that the radical left who opened our borders irresponsibly and with malice towards citizens who are already here, our safety and our security, our very lives, our families, I don't think they thought that anybody would have the guts to say, you know what, we're going to reverse this. And if you came here illegally, you're going home. Don't you think that's, was that part of you know, why they were as brazen as they were with the help of people like George Soros.
I think after the 2020 elections, Karen, that they were so confident that Trump would never again attain office, or that they'd have the same old sort of rhino if the Democrats were voted out of office. I think they felt they could control the election process, they could control the media, and then replace the electorate, literally replace the electorate with persons that would be dependent on them for food stamps and what have you, and then vote the way they were told. So I think they were supremely confident. And it's very telling. There was a lip reader who read yesterday the lips of Barack Obama as he was talking to
Donald President. Trump.
No, not Donald Trump, but he was saying to somebody next to him who was a Republican.
Yeah.
He said, "How do we stop this?"
I wish I knew. I wish I knew who he was talking to, because
it was George Bush. It was George Bush.
Oh, God.
Very
rhino. They are so aligned. Yeah, people,
very much aligned. That's what everybody is getting to understand now, Karen. The Democrats and half the Republicans are more together. And that's what she read on his lips. Oh. How do we stop this?
How do we stop this?
And I think the stars aligned for Trump. I think if he had two terms consecutively, he wouldn't have the opportunity to do what he can do now.
I could not agree more. No. I think that, you know, regardless of what your religious beliefs are, you know, he said it's chilling. It puts, chilling in a good way, that the hairs on the back of your neck stand up when you think about how close we were, not only to losing our country completely, but of losing Donald Trump.
Man
who is so phenomenally
remarkable.
Qualified. And with the kind of guts that we have not seen, it's America and American principles that produced a Donald Trump.
Yeah,
who could stare.
Exactly right.
Who could stare such evil in the face. And I'm talking about the evil acts that were done. I want you to comment, because I want to go back to illegal immigration, in the sense that conservatives are notorious for trying to be reasonable. This is a good thing. And underestimating the atrocity and the evil that was done. You got to answer that.
I don't know who it is and why they're calling.
They want you badly. They want you
there
badly.
There we go. I got that done, Karen. Thank you.
but I want to get this out, because we only have you for a couple more minutes. The atrocity of opening our borders to every criminal wasn't just to change the electorate, which it was. It wasn't just to move lawless people into Republican areas or to completely upset the balance. I mean, there were so many things, but we're also talking about willfully bringing in terrorists and criminals into this country with no regard for the safety and the security of the citizens that they were elected to protect.
Yeah, it's you couldn't write it up in a drama the way they did this. And
you could not.
It really did. Thank God for the American electorate that woke up and said, we have to stop this now. I mean, it got so bad. When you DEI and every human resource department of companies.
How do you defend the things they did without awareness of the intent and the motive for doing it? That was the thing I found myself talking blue in the face. I could not stop repeating it, and I got bored with my own voice saying,
how can they be doing this?
How can they be doing
this? It's true.
And
you really have
people
to be...
not see?
You have it's to be like absolutely un-American.
It's like an abused woman who says, oh, he apologized.
So it'll be fine now.
Yeah, but the truth is, people were seeing it, but they didn't feel like they had any power. We were much more together than we knew. We just didn't know how many people were also not sleeping at night. I don't want to get on my soapbox. I want to give you the last couple minutes to say whatever you want to say about this, because we have a lot of good things to look forward to. I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing. I think it's going to be bumpy, but oh my, are we in a different place than we were?
Very much so, Karen. And we, you know, I think a lot of people feel like we do and are very thankful, but we also have to keep in mind that this is the beginning, not the end. We have to turn back the tide on 100 years of the Democrat Party concentrating power in one city and in one office, the presidency. That is why Democrats go crazy if a Republican is in office. And now if it's a George Bush, okay, they can deal with
them.
They're fine. The first thing you hear from a rhino is, no, we have to compromise. Yes, we want unity. The minute they say that, they're surrendering. What has to happen is having a true conservative number of years where we turn back the tide on this concentration of power. And one great sign for everybody at home is that Trump advised his new Secretary of Education that her job was to work her way out of having a job.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
So she will end the Department of Education, so that not everybody in the country will have to learn DEI or CRT or any of the other indoctrination education that they've been sponsoring.
I think that young people, although he got a lot of them, they were seeing through it more than we realized, weren't taught, because this is one of the fundamental principles of our founders. They were not taught that, there it goes again.
My gosh.
It's getting fun. they weren't taught the whole principle behind limited government and a separation of powers. They just, you know, that's something they didn't get.
Or why that has to happen.
Yes.
If you're going to have a free society, there has to be checks and balances and division of power.
Exactly. And the concentration of power at the top, which a lot of insidious, it's a pleasure to talk to you, even with the ringing and dinging. a lot of people have been taught to think that something from Washington or New York is better than if it originated locally, that somehow these are people who worked their way up and are like, for example, news readers. If you're an anchor on a national news program, you're somehow more authoritative than one who, you know, has an opinion locally. It's all lies.
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah. But we're all Americans and all gifted in some way.
Well, you're gifted, Richard Lyons. It's good to talk to you. Can't wait to talk to you again. You were great.
Okay, Karen.
Go answer that phone.
Okay. Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the Ellen Nathan Show right after this.
A major update coming from Visa will soon mean when someone sends you money, you'll have access to your funds faster. Starting in April 2025, Visa's real-time money movement solution, Visa Direct, will improve the speed your money is available in your bank accounts here in the U.S. Whether splitting a bill with friends, moving money between accounts, receiving an insurance claim payout, or a worker accessing their earned wages, this change will ensure that funds are available in bank accounts within 1 minute or less, starting in April 2025. The improved speed and availability of Visa Direct's funds will improve how businesses and governments operate as well, enabling near immediate funds for everything from government disbursement payouts and healthcare payments to service industry tips. Visit Visa Direct's website to learn more about how Visa Direct is powering faster payments.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Aiken Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are wrapping up the show with Elena Barbera, also known by her YouTube alias, The Based Mother. She's going to have to explain this to me. These words come into our language and I'm, based? Really? That's, I'm too old. She is a documentary filmmaker. Her newest project, American Groomer, sheds light on how school curriculums are introducing children to kink, giving them incomplete science behind STDs, and encourage them to make dangerous choices. Elena, is it Barbera or Barbara?
It's Barbera. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Like Hanna-Barbera. Okay,
exactly.
Elena. Thank you so much. We have a lot to talk about, so I don't want to waste too much time. But based means that you're... What's another word? Give me a synonym.
Somebody that says it like it is, that tells the truth.
Okay. They get it, but it's so vague. I don't know. But that's okay. I don't mean to criticize. I am just behind the times a little bit, I guess.
Come up with it. People way younger and cooler than me.
I know. See, I don't think they're cool, but they were cool because they saw through the lies regarding Donald Trump and they voted for him in very high numbers. So. Thank them. This issue of American grooming is an issue that I care deeply about. I even think there's a lot of gay people who are horrified by this, that this kind of thing is going on in their name. I'm a fan of Gays Against Groomers. Talk to us about this documentary. Do you cover that? And what do you cover? Let's just give you a lot of room to explain.
Sure. Well, what I do is I go into what's happening in the schools, the history of how we got there, the fact that it's actually legal to show pornography to children in schools and how that came to be. And funny enough, I do interview Jamie Michelle and two of her co-leaders at Gays Against Groomers in the film, and they were hugely helpful.
I would love to interview them too. If you could tell my producer later how to get in touch with them, I have wanted to talk to them because I give them a great deal of credit, and I'm with them. Anyway, not to interrupt. So you talked about you really gave me something immediately. Went, oh, got to talk about that. How in the whole wide world is it legal to put pornography on government grade school shelves? I've been asking this, when you would get arrested if you were doing it online.
Right, online or in, you know, just think back to when we were younger. If you went to a newsstand, you couldn't sell a pornographic magazine to a child. It would be a crime. You couldn't give it to them, you couldn't give a kid porn in, the park or the coffee shop. But because it is, you know, there are obscenity statutes that say this is harmful to children. But there's what is called obscenity exemption statutes. So you, if you show pornography to a child in a library or a school classroom setting, you will be exempted from criminal prosecution because you can just say it was for educational purposes. And those laws,
To a five-year-old? To a nine-year-old?
It doesn't matter how young the child. It doesn't matter how obscene the pornography.
Wow.
There are no limits.
When did this law come into effect, and who put it into effect, I'd like to know?
It's really creepy. So there's a guy named Alfred Kinsey who did this quote-unquote research and ultimately determined that children are scientific from birth. The Rockefeller Foundation loved this guy. They funded a lot of his work and helped him to set up the Kinsey Institute for Sex, which still stands at Indiana University today. And then the Rockefellers used their money to create a small group that wrote the model legal code that would become obscenity exemption statutes in 44 states. And that happened from the late 50s through the early 80s. Those laws went into place. A handful of states in recent years have rescinded them. But these are the things that were going on while Americans were just, you know, building their American dream and going about our lives and thinking that we could trust the government.
Trust the government. I'm here to help. Well, I, as a trained social worker, I'm an MSW. I know of Kinsey. I didn't do any papers on him, but I'm certainly familiar with Kinsey. I didn't know it went back that far because, you know, social conservatives, I really never counted myself among them, always said it was a slippery slope and that gay people and others were trying to really convert and to change kids into being gay. And a lot of gay people said, that's ridiculous. And then a group comes along and does precisely that.
Yes. So look at an organization like the Human Rights Campaign. They started out, their main mission was to get the gay community the rights to be married for other reasons, right? Legally, civil unions. And then when they achieved that, they needed a new purpose. So they went and found the trans community and brought them in. And then they started producing materials for children about being gay, about being trans. They have materials in schools in all 50 states now that start at reading lists for pre-K kids that talk to them about attraction and, you know, how they feel about their bodies and are you in the right body and your parents may have gotten your gender wrong when you were born. And they go right up through the most filthy sex ed, what they call sex ed, filth, all through high
school. Horrifying. Well, I just want to say for the record, you know, full disclosure and maybe a little tiny bit of, you know, letting you know anyway, that I wrote a book called Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin, which is about child beauty pageants, my experience in child beauty pageants, which my story, my memoir really is romper room compared to what we've watched up until yesterday when President Trump came in, about the twisting of and promoting sexuality for children instead of protecting children and letting them grow up naturally. I say that because a lot of people do not understand that when you rush people into rush children into sexuality before they're ready, they begin to exhibit all manner of psychiatric and mental health issues that may take years, if not a lifetime, to undo. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, and hopefully we'll have you back to talk about this documentary further.
Thank you. They can go to AmericanGroomerFilm.com to watch the film for free, and there they can find the links to all of my social media where I am known as the Base Mother. Thanks so much for having
Great.
Me.
Great. Elena Barbera, thank you so much for joining us. That does it for this edition of The Alan Nathan Show. Tune in every day for more. It's a great time to be alive in America.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.